Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Wow, we if Marco Violi didn't want to charge me a limb, Andy, to play his King Eldor original, or I should say his version of the King Eldor song, I would do it. Marco, come down on your pricing, okay? Because I would have opened the show with it. I would have given you a lot more publicity than you probably are worth. But still, it's a catchy song that there is no other way I would have preferred to begin this episode. Before we get into King Eldor, thank you to our two newest patrons over at Patreon, Sean and Eric Jacobson. Thank you both for your support. If you would like to join and see what sort of chaos and see what it looks like when 332 other degenerates collect and share this illness that they have, otherwise known as IS Roma, together, patreon.com/RomaPress at IS Roma Press on social media and YouTube. He does it again. Just the thought, Andy, Roma were, by the way, ready to just in, I will say in fairness, Gisolfi was the one pushing for it. It wasn't necessarily Shomuradov himself. It was himself and his agent, who I don't want to speak too ill of, because I know he is a football agent, but he is this Russian. He looks like a Russian oligarch, and the way he speaks, it's right out of like a film. So in the interest of my body not being found and my corpse floating face down somewhere in a bog, I'm just going to say it was his agent who was trying to find solutions. But Ranieri is the one who insisted on his stay, and it has paid dividends. Again, our dad and stats, our group, they're out for the remainder of the night, so they're not here to give me exactly what the end of match consistency and success rate of Shomuradov is. But Andy, it has to be up there, because once again, this guy delivers. He hands Roma a 2-1 victory against Athletic Bilbao in the first leg. Everything to play for, obviously, in the return leg. We can go with King Eldor in a bit, but with this one, man, I mean, if you want to talk about a team fully buying in, a team who does not give up, who fights, who understands the assignment up until the very end, no matter how many mistakes they have made in the first half, second half, they keep fighting, and that's exactly what they did. Andy, their XG prior to the 80th minute was 0.58. Roma ended the match with an XG of 1.19. So they more or less doubled their expected goal rate in those final 15 minutes, including extra time. That's where I come out on this. Now, you and I both said they needed to win by at least a 2-goal margin. But given they started the second half off losing 1-0 just a few minutes into it, I'm not going to complain too much. Where do you come out on this?
Yeah, I mean, nobody can ever complain on nights like this one, because we all know how difficult these games are, whether you play at home or away. And we could see that, you know, by conceding that first goal, you were never going to be in a brilliant position. So all in all, Roma made the most of it. This was never going to be a result handed you on a silver platter. And that does not mean that I had Eldor Shomuradov saving our asses in 2025 on my bingo card. Really. I mean, you know, this is a player that we acquired in the summer that Mourinho came here. And it didn't really work out for us. Shomuradov was never really the guy. He was never even sort of able to make an impact as that second option, which is which was the reason he was brought in for. Remember, he comes in to be the guy to partner up with Edin Dzeko. Edin Dzeko leaves like a week into Shomurov's spell at Roma to be replaced by Tammy Abraham. So, which then obviously takes Shomurov completely out of Roma's lineup. So this has been Shomurov's story at Roma. It's been a story of not many ups, mostly downs and loans. So, you know, an unsuccessful loan spell at Spezia, a loan spell at Cagliari, so and so, you know, and now back at Roma. But it never really felt like, oh, this guy is here to stay, right? And instead, we get treated in this new year to a Shomurov that feels like he's got it down pat. What Ranieri wants from him, he's got down pat what his role is within the team. He's got down pat what he's supposed to do in those final 15-20 minutes that he's on the pitch. Not to mention that he did a brilliant job in replacing Artem Dovbyk in the matches that Dovbyk was unavailable for. So all of a sudden, Shomurov turns into Roma's overnight hero. I'm delighted just for the way these wins happen in recent weeks, because even tonight, you know, you need that drama, you need the tragedy, the prospect of Roma potentially losing at home in Europa League, you know, and then going, not even 5 minutes later, Angelino finding the equalizer, getting the team back into it, and then that red card, and then the whole team pushing to get that result. The referee giving a bizarre extra time of 3 minutes. Three minutes after all those substitutions, that red card, 3 minutes. And then Roma getting that last second winner. So it may not have been pretty, but it's the kind of, I mean, given where you were at the 50th minute when you conceded, and where you are now in terms of emotional boost, because I was already ready to start this podcast and talking to you about what Roma will have to do against Empoli in order to come back from tonight's game. You know, like there was this feeling of, oh my God, okay, yep, there's this bump, they stumbled, and now what are they gonna do in the league? So I think even just based on an emotional point of view, this result is huge, just how it based off of how it happened, you know, just because in those last seconds, the guy who was never really at the center of the project, was never really, you know, the main player that fans get excited about, that guy comes in and gives you a chance, you know, and the prospect of going to Bilbao, which is going to be very difficult, but going to it with this win on your hands has to feel satisfying. So again, may not have been pretty, but this is the kind of European night that I want to see Roma have at the Stadio Olimpico.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that finish by Shomurov it was just the right velocity, a little bit of a lucky bounce, but I think sort of the way he shoots it and the manner in which it ends up in the back of the net, it was just enough, but it was sort of all of the ingredients coming together just at the right, in the right moment, the right confluence of circumstances, and the ball finds the back of the net. I mean, it was superb. I want to hit on something again, because there is something to this. These substitutions again, man. I mean, there is a method to this madness that Ranieri has going on here, because this seems to be what once was. I mean, just think about how often we complained on here in recent years. Wow, what options do Roma have from the bench? There's nobody who can come in. There's no depth. I mean, I'm trying to think of all the substitutions who came on today. You had Sule, El Shaarawy. You had Kone, Salamakers.
Yeah.
Shomurodov.
And to start the match, you had the likes of Baldanzi and Pisilic, yes, who were able, yes, to give a breather to the guys you just mentioned.
It's incredible, though, because they match in and match out. There does not seem to be any sort of discrepancy in the level of effort, the mindset, the character from those who start the game versus those who come off of the bench. And that is something I can't recall where Roma, even at their best, man. I mean, think about, I mean, I even go back to like 2013, 2014. That's how far back in time we need to travel. Even at that point, I think of some of the names who are coming off of the bench. And it was Mattia Destro, Taddei. That's about it. Very slim pickings, as they say. And Roma have been plagued for years by the inability to get any sort of response from the bench. I have to say, Andy, just in this short time span, in recent weeks, 3 to 5 weeks, I would say they've received more impact in that time span off of the bench than they did in the previous 3 to 5 years. It's incredible to me. I mean, truly, I mean, Sule, Salamakers today, tonight, they were,
yeah,
immediately.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Salamakers close to scoring a goal. Salamakers is a sensation. I mean, Salamakers really sort of, how many times have we gotten the better end of the deal, you know? Given how Tammy Abraham has been doing at Milan, the fact that Roma managed to get Salamakers and despite that, he's missed 2 months, John. Salamakers missed 2 months of injury, and he's come through in unbelievable fashion. I don't know when was the last time we got someone on loan like that. I think he's doing better than Digne, right? In terms of a player who's on loan, who's not going to be kept on a permanent deal. We don't know, in the sense that he came here without any kind of option or obligation. He's done wonders. But absolutely, the Roma have second lines. That's the thing. And that was the thing that troubled us and confused us and made everybody question the quality of the squad, because on paper, everybody thought that we had a good summer, that we had a squad that was deep enough to make a run, whether it was in the league or Europa League or Coppa Italia. And the fact that the reaction, the performances were not coming, was really bothering us. Well, here's the answer. That's why it was bothering us, because the options are there, but it comes down to whether a manager knows how to utilize them or not, and knows how to motivate, because really it doesn't even, like right now, Tommaso Baldanzi goes from being a bench player to a starter from one game to the next. Sule goes from being a starter to a bench player, and back and forth, you know. Who could have expected for Kone to be on the bench today? You know, who could have expected Mats Hummels again to be on the bench today for Zeki Salik, who's also doing great? So,
come on, Shomurodov, no, he's doing great. Come on, man.
Shomurodov, who could have envisioned Eldor Shomurodov in 2025, a guy who was with his foot out of Trigoria so many times, and now making an impact? It's like Juan Iturbe having an impact at Roma in 2016. It didn't happen, but it would have been amazing had it happened. That's the case for Eldor Shomurodov. That's why it feels so good, because we are confronted with a team that not only believes in the result, but also has the men to do it. That's the thing. We have the men to do it. We have the word quality is being thrown around a lot. But in this case, I think quality refers to the fact that all these guys have something that they can contribute to the team. You don't have elements within the team that we don't really know much about, perhaps with the exception of Saud. And even Saud, in his small little time on the pitch for Roma, actually contributed, if we remember, early on in the Ranieri spell. So all in all, that has to be the running theme so far of this second half of the season, since Ranieri's takeover, that that quality, but quality in numbers, quality in meaningful numbers, that we have a lot of players on this roster, but they all bring something to the table. And notice how in recent weeks, no, Ranieri has been switching the lineup quite often in recent weeks. You know, he's been changing small things, but still, I mean, tweaking the names on the starting 11 has never been something that Roma were good at. And this time around, it doesn't really bother us. We don't really, I think a few weeks ago, maybe you could see fans being more like, oh my God, what is he going to do? What's he doing? You know, what's he thinking? But this time, I think people are slowly realizing that, hey, that old man may be onto something. Maybe we should start trusting these guys that we have on the bench.
Well, yeah. And the other thing, too, is particularly at the role of striker, there has never, I mean, again, going back all the way a decade ago, when Edin Dzeko first comes to Roma, there was never any single name putting even an ounce of pressure on that guy from behind him. If he didn't perform, it was shrug your shoulders because you had no other option. Shmurdov is putting in fantastic displays consistently, and he is putting and piling on the pressure onto Dovbyk, which, when it comes to the high profile signings of Roma, is hardly ever the case. So they have a guy in Shmurdov who doesn't require much time to make an impact. You don't need to start him for him to make a contribution. I think that is one of the most underrated aspects of this guy. And as far as the team goes and the options to Ranieri, I think that is something that is so important, because we've discussed it a number of times on here, but it's one of those aspects that you don't really tend to notice. It goes under discussed, but just think about it. If Edin Dzeko did not play, what, you had Majerov for one season, and even that seemed a bit...
Yeah. Majoral was doing wonders when Dzeko had a fit and didn't want to play because he was not on good terms with Paulo Fonseca. Let's remember, Majoral came through.
So yes, he was a top scorer at 9 goals, which says a lot. But this is one of those times where
Majoral had all in all 17 goals for Roma.
Right. No. I understand that because he was able to crawl his way out of the hole from the Europa League madness.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He was all over, and then Jose Mourinho came in and just completely shut him down. So let's remember that Borja Mayoral, let's set the record straight, Borja Mayoral came through for Roma in his small capacity.
Yes, he did. The thing with Shmurdov, though, is, I think this is where the obvious difference comes, you don't need to start the guy. He does not need to be inserted into the starting 11 in order to make his impact felt. And I think that is one aspect of him that you can't put price on. And by the way, that is also something that you can't really teach somebody. Nobody just learns that. And I think that is something that is such an endearing quality, because listen, a lot of footballers, is not going to surprise anybody, coming off of the bench, it is a very difficult role to accept with the egos they have. It can be a difficult spot from a mental point of view for them to not only accept, but to perform well in. And the fact this guy is able to do it, I think, is sensational. And I want to reiterate, he was so close to being damned to the pits of hell, otherwise known as Venezia, playing under Eusebio Di Francesco. Turn of events and the story arc of this guy over the previous...
Life gives you lemons sometimes.
Yes. Yeah. It's incredible. So given that, we both said Roma, they needed to win by at least 2-goal margin to feel good going into the return. Like, where are you at ahead of next week? Because I think, listen, there were chances left on the table. I mean, Dovbyk had that one in the first half that just makes you want to rip your hair out. But beyond that, they really, really did not create many clear-cut chances prior to the final 15 to 20 minutes. I mean, they came alive after that, after the sending off, obviously. The atmosphere was incredible, which is why you feel a bit cheated, in my opinion, just to be going into this second leg with only a one-goal advantage. But again, this never-say-die ability that they have and this character of never rolling over, I feel a lot better with this version of IS Roma than I probably would have of even... it might be stupid to say this, but even in the season where they went to the Europa League, they didn't have character to this extent. Tactically, they were far... they were sharp under Jose Mourinho. But they didn't have this character in the sense of the ability to come back, the ability to overcome. That's the other thing in this, Andy. I mean, how many times would we see Roma go down a goal and it was just... You might as well turn the television off. They're not overcoming this. Now, again, they were able to... we saw them show a bit more in Europa League, but particularly in the previous 3 to 5 years, Fonseca, even at times under Jose Mourinho, they did not possess the ability to come back. And by the way, even when they had leads, for some reason, I tortured myself watching that match against Juve up 3-0 on the 70th minute? Juve, bang, 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 bang. It's completely the opposite, this Roma now. So 2-1, yes, I would have preferred the 2-goal margin. I have to say, though, something must be in the water because I feel fairly confident going into the return leg. So even though we didn't get the victory by 2 goals, I assume you feel the same.
Well, I mean, listen, John, we have to remember where this team comes from, what they've been through. I've honestly been impressed by the fact that after that terrible first half of the season, these guys stay together. I've been impressed actually that we haven't gotten stories of teammates fighting with each other, of players being unhappy. We haven't gotten that, even though the team was doing really poorly, with the exception of, say, Brian, all those news about Brian Cristante, you know, being unhappy about his playing time, whatever. We didn't get really the feeling that there was tension in the locker room, that there was something that didn't work with the team. They stayed together through adversity, through incredible adversity, through arguably the worst period of this, I don't know, 3-year, 4-year spell, easily. They stay together more so than in previous years, I would argue. In previous years, you would always get some kind of noise about, you know, players arguing with each other, players being unhappy, players requesting a move, the whole thing between Mourinho and Karsdorp, you know, that kind of stuff. It didn't look good. It didn't sound good. And for sure, the team also suffered because of it. I would say that this year, the team has impressed me the most because of that, because they had all the excuses in the world to just flat out give up, lay down, fight among themselves, and stop. Just give up. They did not do it. They actually put in the effort to work as a team, to climb their way out of this hole. They're still not out of it. But tonight is further proof that there is when these guys go out and say in interviews to the cameras that, you know, the family, the team spirit, it's true. Like, this year, I can feel it. This year, I buy it. This year, I believe what they're saying. This year, I do think that there is a real family unit within this team, because they should not be here. They should not be giving us these kinds of nights. After the kind of season that we were having early on, we were not expecting to be here tonight, say, and be celebrating a 2-1 win at the last second, thanks to Eldor Shomurov. It just was not on anyone's bingo card. So that's the thing that makes me excited about this return leg, that makes me feel like, okay, like these guys have got it. These guys have a handle on the situation. They have a handle on the pulse. They know what they're in for, because it's going to be very difficult. They're aware of it. Even Eldor Shomurov, first thing he says is, I'm not really celebrating because I know that there is a return leg waiting for us, and we will have to win there as well. So that's, even that is good to know. But I do think that just by going through all of this adversity, by climbing uphill for the last 3 months, 3.5 months since Ranieri took over, whatever it is, they have really grown in character. And so even when they concede, or when they fall, or when they stumble, when they make a mistake, their reaction is to improve the situation, to make amends, to repair, to fix something. And that's huge, because again, they just could have given up so many times already. That's huge credit goes to Ranieri, of course, because he managed to rally them around. But I think also huge credit goes to the players themselves, that did not use that terrible situation that we found ourselves in November as an excuse to just, to just pretend like they don't have any responsibility, that they don't have really any sort of, need to prove themselves to anybody, because hey, the team is broken, the results are not coming, so why bother? And instead, these guys have always, no matter what, they've always tried to react, hence the good streak that they're on, because even when they mess up, there is this unspoken rule, it seems like, that we have to make up for it right away. And they've been able to honor this rule time and time again.
That is a great point. Particularly, I mean, tonight we see Roma, they concede in the 50th minute, they score under 10 minutes later in the 56th minute. You can see them when they make a mistake, that they are aware, they are cognizant of that mistake, and they work immediately to rectify that. And I think that's a great point. Having said that, we went from no away victories, shifting to the last our last segment here as we go into the weekend with this highly anticipated showdown against Empoli, a team struggling for relegation, a team that just, when you watch them, it feels like, and it makes sense, that Andrea Zoli has managed there 25 different times. It is a team that plays some of the most bland, some of the most unattractive, boring football. So naturally, I don't even know, what is their, how many victories do they have on the season? Because we know one of them is against AS Roma. I think,
of course, on the second match day, it felt great. Like that was the perfect kick to the balls, wasn't it? With Paulo Dybala announcing his decision to stay, teasing us,
yes,
to tune in for his grand return to the Stadio Olimpico, and then delivering that kind of performance. That was not good. And I think that was Empoli's last real remarkable match, or yeah, one yes, of the few.
Well, listen, they not good. We'll just say that. So their last victory in Serie A, December 8th, when they beat Verona 4-1 in Veneto. Prior to that, they've won against Como and Roma. So naturally, you would have to expect that they're going to put up a fight. This is one of those teams that, much like the Rosanone of last season, they rely on one guy, Esposito, for all of their attacking output. All of the actions go through him. Their entire attack revolves around this guy. So listen, they stink. They suck. This is, again, the most accessible part of the calendar that they cannot get wrong. They absolutely cannot get this wrong. And you have another one of those weekends, Andy, where they can't afford to. They can't afford to because you have another opportunity where Roma can gain some ground, because you have Napoli, Fiorentina, Juve, Atalanta, and Milan, who, yes, Roma jumped ahead of them, but they are struggling. They're going away to Lecce. This is another one of those weekends where you can gain ground. There's only a handful of them every single season. It's only a handful where you're playing a shit team and all, and you have a couple of good teams going against each other where you know somebody is going to drop points, so you have to take advantage. They cannot afford to get this wrong. I would prefer they not keep us on the edge of our seats where, you know, we see Sule having to score a free kick and that be the only goal of the game for Roma. I would prefer if they put this out of reach for Empoli early, because this is a side that does not.
You know, it's not going to happen. That
I know, but you know what? We have spoken some things into existence. So if I just say it, okay,
right?
Maybe.
Right. But you remember what happened at the Castellani last season, right?
Yeah.
Last match day. That's the last time we played at the Castellani. Did not feel good, right? Remember, we were supposed to come through. We were supposed to rally around De Rossi, and then we laid one big fat egg.
Yes, it was. However, though, this is another one of those opportunities where I am convinced if Roma come away with victory, D'Arversa is going to get sacked. I think that would make it 3 on the season for Roma, if I'm not mistaken. They have to get a victory here. Again, this part of the calendar is so generous. It is so generous. And given that you are doing it in the midst of this run in the Europa League, you can't get it wrong. Whew. So let's leave it there. We will be back after the match this weekend between Roma and Empoli. So until then, everyone, ciao.